freedom and the privileges to be able to worship you. We thank you. And in the midst, Lord God, of so much, so many words of hate in our country, Lord God, we know that you're still God. And we're trusting in you, and we know that you're a God of love. And in due time, that you will remedy all things. You will take care of it, Lord God, because you're a God of mercy and justice and a God of love of all people. And so, God, we are dependent on you. And while we go through and some of our hearts are broken, some of us hearts ache, we are holding on to your unchanging hands, dependent on you. And we will love each other. We will strive to love each other as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, loved us, all of us. And so, Lord, speak a word now, a word of love and hope and peace and unity to your people. And let us be the kind of people that you would die for, Lord Jesus. And now take hold of me, the preacher, and put me on the submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength, my redeemer, my savior, and my Lord. Amen. And now as we come today, in times like these, we need an anchor. And be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You know, the new year is always a time, should be at the beginning of the new year, all things going well, that is excitement for the new possibilities, shouldn't it? We've gone through 1 year, and whatever we didn't accomplish for the last year, it's already gone. It's over and done with. Somebody called me and said, oh, I didn't pay all, was asking me last night, they said I didn't pay certain things and for last year to the church, can I do it now? And I says, no, it's a new year, you've got to do it for this year. But a new year is like you've got to do whatever you didn't get accomplished, whatever you didn't get done, whatever you're hoping to do, the new year opens up new possibilities, isn't it? Doesn't it? Right? And even if you are not well, you're hoping to be well in the new year. We should be excited to face the new year, shouldn't we? And certainly we should be, because we are alive and well. I mean, I'm talking to alive people here today, am I not? Amen. Praise the Lord, right? And so, if they'd allow me when my time is to go home to be with the Lord, I'll talk in the cemetery if they let me. I'll be calling on the name of Jesus. At that moment, I'll be so excited then. And so my sermon title is Expect Great Things from God. I think we have gotten so used sometimes to just expect the same old, just the status quo. The status quo, we keep expecting nothing will happen. Right? And here it is. God is a God of new things, makes all things new. And so I read this little illustration called Come and See. You just have to be there. Come and see. You just have to be there. And we're going to want people to say that about our church, right? Come and see. You just have to be there to see it. And so the story says, a few years ago, a church located in a large city decided to turn its gymnasium into a night shelter for homeless people. One of our churches in Brooklyn does that, Vanderveer Park. Every winter, there were reports that some of these people, condemned to sleep out in the open, had frozen to death. And so the church made the warmth and safety of its building available without charge. Each evening during the winter, volunteers from the church would spend the night in the shelter, providing food, clothing, and lodging for as many of the homeless as the building would hold. Almost without exception, the volunteers reported that the experience of spending the night with these people from the streets had been far more than an act of dutiful charity. The volunteers had found their own faith strengthened, their own reliance upon the grace of Christ reinforced by the experience. Several months after the shelter was opened, one of the pastors of the church was being interviewed on a radio talk program. The interviewer was an opinionated fundamentalist whose biases were quite strong. It became clear during the interview that he felt that the church ought to stick to the business of preaching the old-time gospel and stay away from meddlesome activities like shelters for the homeless. Now, I didn't know what gospel he was reading, because he certainly doesn't know the gospel of Matthew that says, "When I was hungry, you fed me." He has missed that part. Now just tell me, he jeered at the point, "Where is Jesus in all of this?" For a moment, the pastor considered silently how to respond, then said calmly, "You just have to be there. You just have to be there to see the move of God among God's people, expecting great things for God." Can you imagine having a building that is empty and people are dying frozen around you? Vanderbilt Park United Methodist does that. On the weekends, in the winter time, they open up their social hall for years now. I served there for 2 years when I was going through the process. And they open it up as a shelter, the social hall, for the ground out there, and so people can come in and stay overnight out of the streets when it's real cold. And volunteers do it. And so the Church of Jesus Christ have been doing that forever, seeing what is needed to be done. And when we do that, we know that God will do great things in our life. And so here we have this text. And I heard the song that the choir sang a song today and says, "I believe." I don't know the full word until I hear them sing it. Or "Do you believe?" What is the name again? Let us serve him. And somewhere in there, it's the "I believe." The "I believe" refrain, that we believe that we're going to serve him because we believe that he could do what? Great things. Right? We believe because we believe. If we don't believe that God can do great things, we're wasting our time. That God will take, we don't achieve great things because we do not believe that God can do great things for us. I said earlier about in the earlier service with my little group of believers who have been believing for a long time. I said told them a story about my niece who had called me yesterday, and because she had gotten a birthday gift from me, a little birthday gift in January. She's 30-something years old, maybe even a little bit older, but I don't want to age myself. I'm going to keep believing she's 30, but she probably is older. But anyway, she called me to say thanks, and I said this morning, get off the phone and not say anything, but that was not possible, it seems. So I said to her, because she has been trying to go to nursing school forever. I mean, she does work and she does, and every year she says she fails something or she's in the program or she's not. So a little voice says, "Don't go there." But I did. And I said, we'll give her a name in case she come visit me one day. I said, what's happening with the nursing? Are you going to school? Are you got into the program? And she says, "Well, Auntie, very Caribbean. Well, Auntie, I am working on it, and maybe one day, even before I retire, I'll become a nurse." I said, "Before you retire? You're 30. That means, I said, "Before you retire?" So then a little voice again says, "Don't go there." I couldn't help myself. I said, "Come on now, you need to do something. You need to expect great things from yourself. And you need to expect great things from God." I said, "You need to set a timeline and a goal. There is no, it's not open-ended when I get there." I says, "You'll never get there because you're going to make an excuse over and over and over again." I said, you don't have to become a nurse if you don't want to. She is now, she works at a nursing home. I said, you don't have to. If that's your life's dream to do what you're doing, then fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You have a great job. But if this is every time I see you telling me you're going to become a nurse and this is going on for years, I said, make up your mind and set goals and expect great things from yourself. It was very silent. And I said to her, I says, I'm getting into your business, am I? And she says, yes, auntie. I said, because I care. Because I care for you. You have got to expect greater things for yourself. I think we treat God the same way, many of us. We don't expect great things from God anymore. We just expect the same old, day after day. And we need to get to a place where we start thinking, church, this church, God can fill this place again.
Amen.
We must expect it from God. Expect that God, the same God, I said earlier, that this church 60 years ago, 65 years ago, whatever number of years ago, this church was full of people coming, right? As I remember Mr. Wicks always telling me, oh, you know, they came from the crib. He used to call that little place a little crib. We came from Broadway down here, right? 107. And to build this. And those people expected great things from God. Right? They expected that God could move. And so they took out mortgages and monies and all whatever they did came together to build this place and build it in stages. And it had been full. Now, yes, I agree that the culture has changed. And stuff has happened, and it's a different culture now than then. And we face different challenges, and it's hard, and it's more difficult. But guess who hasn't changed? God has not changed. Right? The culture's changed. The problems are new. Right? The problems are different. It's harder to figure out. But I really think we are not doing well because we are not expecting great things from God. And God has not changed. He's unchanging. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore, the scripture says. So if God did it once, if he did it twice, God can do it again.
Amen.
But we've got to believe that and act on it. And so here in the text we see Philip. Philip was not expecting, Nathanael was not expecting great things. The scripture says, come and see, said Philip to Nathanael. He called him. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said, follow me. And now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And so Philip began to follow in Jesus. And now Nathanael, I had a thought after the 8 o'clock service, what had happened to Nathanael. Nathanael stopped expecting great things from God. Because Nathanael was a Jew, like all of them, and they had been waiting so long for the Messiah to come that he stopped expecting God to do something mighty. And so, when Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, we have heard that in our culture, haven't we? The Bible is so relevant. Can anything good come out of certain places? Oh, glory to God. You know, they used to say that about Jesus. Can anything good come out of that backwater town, that backwater Caribbean town? Can anything good come out of there? Can anything good come out of that low-life carpenter? Can anything good come from him? But God can take nothing. God can take the bottom of the barrel. God can take the discarded. God can take what people throw away and turn it into something spectacular.
Amen.
This is how God works. None of the fishermen were brilliant theologians or philosophers. They were nothing. And God can do that. God can take a people who believes in him. Can anything good come out of Jamaica? Yes, it can, because I did. God can take anything and make something out of it. And so God would do that. When Nathanael said that, Philip said to him, "Well, you don't believe? Come and see. Come and see." And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And then Nathanael asked him, Where did you come in? How did you come to know me?" And Jesus answered and says, "I saw you under the fig tree." Until Jesus proves something to him, then he says, "Oh, you're the Son of God, you're an Israelite." But here's what Jesus answered: "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." Friends, Jesus is reminding us he could still do great things. He said to Nathanael, "You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Verily, truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And the greater things would come, because the greater things came through the salvation given to us through Jesus Christ. We have to expect great things from God. We don't move forward because we do not expect that God can do mighty things. I always expect that God is going to do something mighty and great in my life. I expect it sometimes until it sounds naive. Every time I'm having a service here, especially the services at Christmas and Christmas Eve and whatever other time, the bigger ones, I know Ron must say, I call up Ron, I says, "Ron, make sure even the pews up top is cleaned." Because I am always expecting that God is going to surprise me. I say to Ron, he's here shaking his head. I says, "Ron, could you make sure?" And I think Ron must say, "God, here she goes again." But I always tell Ron, "Ron, am I lying?" I said, "Ron, could you clean the pews up here?" He says, "You want me to clean the pews up the balcony?" I says, "Yes, because God could do anything." And he always cleaned the pews up top. And I'm waiting. And I come in, and maybe the pews aren't full, and it's not quite full down here, but it's a nice guy. And I says, "Lord, but I'm still waiting on you, God, that you're going to fill the pews." Call me an idiot, but I'm an idiot for Jesus. I'm going to believe that God can do great things. Until the day I'm no longer your pastor, I'm going to believe. And my belief and my prayer, it may not happen in my time, but it will happen in somebody's time, because I'm going to believe. And you have got to believe that for your church, that God can do great things. God could send Jesus Christ. He did. Can't he fill this place? Ron East is coming, and I'll tell him again. In the balcony, dust it upstairs. Right? Because I do believe. And here it is, we're reminded in the Old Testament that Samuel, things were happening in that time in Israel, in the time of Samuel, that God did not like. Eli and his sons had been messing up. The sons had been stealing from the temple. And God did not like that. And God was going to raise up a new prophet. God as a way of raising up new people. This young boy, Samuel. All right, Hannah's boy. And so he's there with Eli, the priest. And he thought he heard something. "Oh, I want God, if you could just speak to me like you speak to Samuel. Or speak to anybody here like you speak to Samuel. Or speak to the children like you speak to Samuel." And he heard God calling. He didn't recognize the voice of God, because he had never heard God, yet he was a young boy. And he went to Eli and he says, "Eli, you know, Eli, are you calling?" Eli says, "No, go lay down. I'm not calling you." And then he went the second time, because he heard God calling. "Oh, speak, Lord, for we are listening. Speak, God Almighty. Hicksville United Methodist Church is listening. Will you not speak to us loudly so we could hear?" That God can and God will. And the third time the boy went, and the boy said, Eli knew. Eli had been a good priest at one point, and he said, "When he speaks to you, say, speak, for I'm listening. Speak, for I am listening." And so God spoke. And God told this young boy, told him something mighty. He says, "The Lord's said, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of everyone who hears it tingle." Both ears. Not even one ear. That means you can't miss it. You can't miss it. I mean, I was reading the text today and I saw the word pop up when somebody was reading just now. I thought, here it is. It's both ears. Because I always listen in between the lines. So when the scripture was being read by Michael, I heard it said both ears. I says, it's both ears. That means you can't miss. If you miss over here, you're going to hear. If this one is stopped up with wax, this one is going to hear. You know what I'm talking about. Both ears is going to tingle. I want people to hear about Hicksville United Methodist Church and what we're doing and how we're growing and all of that, that the ears will begin to tingle. Do you know what tingling means? It's ringing because it's so good when they start talking about how the pews are full up to the balcony that I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for it. You know, you all could go home and go downstairs and laugh after me later on. I don't care. I want it to be that it's tingling. And that, guess what? They're going to come and see. They're going to come and see because they're going to want to know why it's tingling. Right, Ron? And we're going to have cleaned the place because we're ready. We want to be ready for what God is going to do. Glory to God this morning. That both ears are going to tingle. Lord, let my ears tingle for this church, please. How much we want and these people need to hear from you. I said earlier that my prayer now for the Lord is, my first prayer in the morning is, Lord, what will you have me to do? I don't tell God now what I want. I says, God, what would you have me to do for this church? What would you have me to do? And I'm waiting for him to tell me, what will you have me to do next? What do you have me to do, God? And so here are 4 points I want to give you on the expect great things from God, which is my sermon title today. Number one, we have to believe. Believe that God can do great things. That's a little bit of song that they sang today, to believe, right? We know that little song that says, I believe that every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. We believe, right? I believe that somewhere in the darkest night a candle goes. I believe that above the storm and the smallest prayer will still be heard. That no matter how small our prayer is, God will still hear it. I believe. And this is the same God we believe in. Same God we believe in, the people who came before us here in this church, who believed that they could build this big edifice, who believed that this would be filled, who believed that they could have a large Sunday school. They had over 300 and something kids in Sunday school at one point in those days with buses. I've read the history of this place. I've brought it before the Lord and says, God, if you've done it once, you could do it again. It may look differently. You understand? It may have to be done differently, but God can do it again because it doesn't have to be done the same way because the culture has changed. But the same power of God with the Holy Spirit to God himself can make great things happen here. Church, you've got to start believing with me that God can do great things in your church, in your life, in your personal life. And when we start believing that, God will do great things. First, we must believe. And then we must what? Expect it. Expect it. It is like going on a diet, and I'm an expert on that. And if you don't believe that you're going to lose weight, guess what? You never lose it. Do you know what I mean? If you don't believe, because I could speak from experience, then you keep cheating. Right? You just say, well, I'm really on this diet, but I'm going to have this piece of cake. Because you really have not what? You know what? It's a mind thing. Your mind has to receive it, right? They tell you that diets are what? Controlled, mostly it starts in the mind. So every time when I don't lose, I say to myself, well, my mind ain't working well today on this diet. Because you have to believe. And then when you believe, you have to expect. You have to expect that God can do it. Nothing great happens until we expect it. nothing great. Nothing will happen that's great in our lives until we expect it. For all of us who have gone to school and gotten degrees and all of that, did we expect to finish? Did we expect to get a good job? When we go on a job interview, don't we expect to get a good job? We don't go for the interview and says, well, I really am not going to get it, and I'm just showing up. Who does that, right? I know they got, you know, the job is open, but I'm not. They're not going to hire me. I'm just going to show up. No, we go there expecting. We clean up. We have on our nice suit and our resume, and we look good because we expect God to move. We must expect in our church that God will move, friends. And then we must listen to God when God speaks. God can speak to any of us. Not just the pastor, not just the person praying. God speaks to ordinary people. All the time. We are all ordinary people. God speaks to ordinary people. Listen to God when God tells us. We need to have a new expectation from God. And then after we have heard God, we must act. When God told young Samuel he was going to do something to tingle the ears of all who hear it, he didn't stop there. Did not stop there. He did something. When Philip said to Nathanael, come and see, he didn't stop there. We know what happened to Jesus. He went straight to the cross, 3.5 years of ministry, and did what he came for. There has to be action. After you believe, you expect, there must be what? You have to listen to the voice of God and act on it. So church, when we go to prayer, we need to be praying differently. We need to be praying boldly. I mean in your silent, in your personal prayer. I don't mean when we come here and we give our list up. Okay, yes, we do that in the church. But we need in our personal prayer to be asking God, each and every one of you, I want to bring you on this campaign with me. Right? That we're going to start praying both from the youngest to the oldest. Bold prayers before God. Bold prayers, asking God, God, I'm expecting our Sunday school to have 50 kids. Lord, we are expecting that there will be so many members joining the church. Lord, we are expecting God. God, we are praying for move. Ask God bold things. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to ask him bold things. Oh, sometimes we go on and on and on and on, and it's the same old thing, the same old things. We need to pray bold prayer to God. Will you join me in this? Because we're on the same mission. The mission is to what? To see Hicksville United Methodist Church be here as a beacon of life forever and ever and ever. When they tell us, last week I was at the convocation, bishop convocation, up in the conference, and when they tell us about several churches that are closing, and we have 36 retirements. Several of them are, you know, good-sized churches, and the pastors are retired. When the bishop said it, he says he was shocked because 6 pastors said they're retiring because the market is good. Could not believe it that they were the market is good, and they had been pastors for 30 years. We were like all shocked, and they're good-sized churches. But he says 23 of those churches are going to go to halftime. Halftime. And another 5 churches that we are getting ready to sell. I mean, come on now, friends. Huh? Come on. This is not the plan of God for this church. We have a greater plan because we are going to believe in a greater God. Huh? Believe that God can do this here at Hicksville United Methodist Church. He's done it before and he'll do it again. All right? And so some of those folks who closed down or retired because they thought they were done. But we're not done yet. We have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He has never failed us yet. And so the songwriter says, we won't turn back. Can't turn back because he has never failed us yet.
Amen.
We're going to expect great things from him. Great things. Pray bold prayer. Why can't we ask God to let 100 people join the church this year? Why are we so timid to ask God? God is either going to say yes, no, or maybe. What's the big deal, right? Whatever God says is okay. And we don't get a yes because we don't ask. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. It's another scripture. You know that I know the scriptures. I'm always saying them to the Lord. And the Lord says sometimes, you don't have to say it to me. I know it is for you. You know, it's for you to receive it and do it. Right? So we have to ask, seek, and knock and find. He says, call on me and I'll show you new and mighty things that you do not know. We need some new and mighty things in the name of Jesus. And our God is unchanging. And so we're going to hold on and we are running this race to the end, but we want to run, what, a winning race to the end. We don't want to hear about Hicksville United Methodist Church, what we heard about Bedpage. We don't want to hear that. We want to keep striving. We want to keep striving in the name of Jesus. We want to grow and grow and do great things for God. And together we could all do it. Together in your prayers. God is with us. William Carey was an ordinary man with an extraordinary faith. God works through ordinary people all the time. And they says he was born into a working class family in the 18th century. Carey made his living as a shoemaker. And while crafting shoes, Carey read theology and journals of explorers. And God used his word and the stories of the discovery of new people groups to burden him for global evangelism. And they say William Carey went to India as a missionary. And not only did he do the work of an evangelist, but he learned Indian dialects into which he translated the word of God. God always works to us, ordinary people. Carey's passion for mission is expressed by his words. And I want to leave you with this. He says, expect, and I didn't even see his words till last night. And I had my sermon title before, and thanks be to God. He says, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things for God and attempt great things for God. Friends, that's what we're going to be doing this new year. We're going to expect great things from God and we're going to attempt great things for God. And this is what's going to transform our church. This is what's going to transform this church. We are going to be a church like no other. On Long Island. And when I ask to have up there clean off, you won't be smiling anymore. God will do it. I'm cleaning it off by faith, believing that God. I've been having it clean since the first revival I had here. Always have it dusted and clean. I do it every year, 3 times a year. I says, never know who may come. Ron is just looking at me like, okay, Pastor. But I'm walking out. It's a walk of faith for me. It's a walk of faith for me to believe that God can fill this entire place. That God, and 2 years ago I talked about the 8 o'clock service. I said, God can grow the 8 o'clock service. Why is that too hard for God? How come when we go to have a heart operation or something, we pray to God that we will come out of it, but we think filling a church is too hard for God? I mean, look at the magnitude of stuff, right? Right? God can do anything. Amen.